Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at theqfilmcast.net. Just click the link in the upper right-hand corner and choose from over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's Audible.com.
Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant, and we take turns queuing it up. We gather here weekly to tell you what we thought, right?
Right.
And this week, we're going old school sci-fi with the 1951 classic, The Day the Earth Stood Still. It's a conspiracy. I was not a part of that either.
I wasn't either.
That's fantastic.
I didn't know anything about that.
You just heard the entire soundtrack, by the way.
Done on a theremin.
Yeah. The 1951 classic, The Day the Earth Stood Still. A remake was also available, but we didn't do that.
No.
Old school, baby. So if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take. If not, just keep listening to see if it's something that you may want to cue up yourself. And once again, I'm Michael, along with James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, you know, I'm doing okay.
Doing well?
Doing all right, yeah.
I thought it was Sandra Bullock.
I don't know where that comes from. That's the third time in a row I've heard this. This Sandra Bullock.
Get used to it, bud.
Sandra Bullock conspiracy. No, I'm doing all right, man. Everything's right. Good. Everything's good. And to your left is Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality spacewear.
Hey, hi.
Outerwear.
Hi.
Hi, man.
There was some quality space outerwear.
Yeah. I don't know about quality. I got a whole segment on this outerwear, but
yeah,
we'll get to that in due time.
Max Gumbo Johnson.
How are you?
I already answered that question. Not going to do it twice.
Yes, you will.
I'm doing fine.
Great. That's awesome. That's what I wanted to hear. I told you you would. Yeah,
I have a giant spaceman in the other room. Don't tick me off.
You're like a male model. You just do what you
do. I think Max just mind tricked you.
I did.
Tricked? Is that the word you want to use? How about the producer? Adam, the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
I'm good.
All right, guys, so here we all are, gathered once again, Jolly Roger Studio. We're going to get into this film here in a bit, but let me tell you how to keep up with us. We're talking about iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Search the Q Filmcast. We're there, guys. But I also recommend, more than most, go to theqfilmcast.net. But only after you download our free Android app. Search the Q Filmcast there, too, Google Play Store. We love feedback, definitely. TheQFilmcast.net if you want to find out more about the show or to give us your thoughts as well. We love listener feedback. All right, let's get into this. As we mentioned a minute ago, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Yes.
1951.
Classic.
Classic, and it's brought to us by our classic producer. The most classic producer in the history of the Q Filmcast.
I'm not surprised you said that with a straight face.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. Yeah, man, why did you want to cue this film up? Let's just get to that right now. What's up?
It's a classic.
Well, so is Savage, but I don't want to talk about him tonight.
No, I thought it would be a good, fun talk, so just why I want to bring it up. And besides that, I wanted to watch it again.
No, good deal, man. And so, besides, I think we were kind of calling out for an older film.
Yeah,
we killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah, we haven't done an older film or an old sci-fi. I don't think we've done an old sci-fi film.
No. Is this the second oldest film we've done behind Double Indemnity? No, Double Indemnity was not this old.
No, it was older.
41.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dope.
No, it was after World War II.
43.
It was 48. 40-something.
I can't remember.
Okay. It was after World War II.
They were closer, black and white. 48. They're still the same
40-something.
It was time to get into pre-Technicolor area here.
Right.
Let's get into a little bit about this film, and we are also going to get into a trailer here in a little bit. Then we'll get back and we'll tell you what we thought of this one. This film was written by Edmund North. Don't know if that really means a whole lot, but he did write this film, known for it. You remember the film Meteor? Max, you probably do.
Oh, the 78 Meteor? Yeah, I remember that.
The guy wrote that. And James' favorite film, Patton.
That's a terrible film.
You hate it. We'll figure that out. I might agree with you. I can't remember if it was terrible or not.
Yeah, whatever.
Directed by Robert Wise. Anyone want to tell me what he's known for?
Sound of Music. West Side Story.
Star Trek, the motion picture.
Are we just yelling out movies?
No, he's right.
Oh, wow.
He must be from another planet.
He just yelled out two random movies, and they were both right.
Hoodie. Robert Wise. Is he human? Is he from another planet?
It's amazing.
He's from another
planet. He is suspect.
Bob Wise.
But you know what else he's known for is Star Trek, the motion picture, 1978.
I just said that.
He said that.
Oh, sorry. His big breakthrough was editing Citizen Kane. So right off the bat. Yeah, he was the editor. Well, I think he was Academy Award nominated for that.
I wouldn't have figured
it out. Give it up for Robert Wise.
Hey, Bob Wise.
Film stars Michael Rennie as Klaatu. Billy Gray played Bobby. He was in all these 50s shows afterwards. Father Knows Best, Annie Oakley. Did you know he played the kid in this film, but he's also known for Pork Lips Now. You ever seen that?
No.
Never heard of it. Apparently, it's like a cult classic. It's a spoof on Apocalypse Now called Pork Lips Now about a sales guy who's trying to take over the world or something.
That sounds terrible.
No. Look it up. Anyways, we have
I'm
to watch
surprised it. Adam doesn't have it in his collection.
I'm surprised Adam said, I watched it last night on Blu-ray.
He's on Amazon right now, clicking away.
Yeah, Patricia Neal, too. So, anyways, that's the film, guys.
Aunt B. Aunt B.
Oh, she Aunt B?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
right. She wasn't Aunt B. Patricia Neal's not Aunt B. Aunt B was in the film.
Yeah, Aunt B was in it.
And okay. Sam Jaffe.
I got it. Okay.
Sam Jaffe's last movie. The 80s.
I wanted to end on, man, I wanted to end on Pork Lips Now. I wanted to end on Pork Lips Now.
Well, you didn't.
Pork Lips. I know I did.
Okay, let's Pork Lips.
Every show inspires a top three, right? Right. We talk about the film and it kind of makes you go, what does this make me also want to talk about?
Things that make you go,
My God.
Wow.
Did the Earth Stand Still in 1989?
Where did that come
because
from?
I think that's Arsenio.
Arsenio.
CNC Music Factory?
I don't know. He used to have the dog pound. Things that made you. You know what I'm talking about.
You got it from CNC Music Factory.
CNC Music
Factory. Why are we talking about CNC?
Why are we talking about this? Move on.
Apparently, they're still 20 years ago. But inspires our top three something or other. Adam, reveal it. What are we going to talk about after the review? Our top three what in films?
Favorite robots.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite robots, man.
Yeah.
Keeping it simple.
I'm digging that.
Keeping it simple.
There's more than three, by the way.
There's tons.
I mean, there's a lot.
There's a lot of robots.
That's going to be a lot of fun, so we have that for you. Let's get into the ratings on this thing, and then we'll talk about a synopsis, and we'll get back with our reviews here. Ratings, IMDb, 7.9.
Sounds fair. Huh.
Hoodie, what do you think of that?
That actually seems low to me.
It seems low to you. Okay.
Yeah, for the...
For what it is.
For it being a classic film, I would thought they would have gotten it better than an 8, you know?
Yeah, okay, I'm with you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to consider IMDb's open to... Idiots also.
Yeah.
Even a dummy can vote on IMDb.
Yeah.
We got a critics coming up, though.
Yeah.
talking about Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm clicking now.
The critics don't think this is rotten, Adam. 94. 94% fresh.
That's what I was thinking.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Users, 87. That's odd. Usually it's the other way around. The critics are low and the users are high.
Right.
Critics like it. Okay. Well, let's talk about what you have here. 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still, not starring Keanu Reeves. This is the one, the original. Here's what you have. All of Washington, D.C. is thrown into a panic when an extraterrestrial spacecraft lands near the White House. Out steps Klaatu, Michael Rennie, in a role intended for Claude Rains, a handsome and soft-spoken interplanetary traveler whose bodyguard is Gort. I love that name. I expected more people to be named Gort after this movie, but I don't think...
Did you?
Like, if I saw this, I'd say, I'm naming my kid Gort. I don't think that happened.
Didn't catch on.
Gort is a huge robot who spews forth laser-like death rays when danger threatens. After being wounded by an overzealous soldier, Klaatu announces that he has a message of the gravest importance for all humankind, which he will deliver only when all the leaders of all the nations will agree to meet with him. No Skyping in those days. Klaatu's demands... are turned down, and he is ordered to remain in the hospital where his wounds are being tended. Klaatu escapes, taking refuge in a boarding house where he poses as one Mr. Carpenter. There, the benign alien gains the confidence of a lovely widow and her son, Bobby, neither of whom are aware of his origins, and seek out the gentleman whom Bobby regards as the smartest man in the world.
And his best friend.
The next day at precisely 12 o'clock, Klaatu arranges the world to stand still. He shuts down all electric power, exception of essentials like hospitals and planes in flight, in hopes of curbing mankind down to a fruitful road of peace. Yeah, you want to take a second? Let's do a trailer?
I would.
Tell
I would
me yes.
To.
Beg for it. Yes. Say yes. I need that trailer.
I need that trailer to last 30 minutes.
Here's a trailer from The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Drew Pearson. We bring you this special radio television broadcast in order to give you the very latest information on an amazing phenomenon. The arrival of a spaceship in Washington. The Army has taken every precaution to meet any emergency which may develop. Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something is happening.
Okay, so there you go. There's a piece from the 1951 classic, sci-fi classic, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Not the 2008 classic.
We've established that.
All right, let's get into a little bit of Did You Know about this film. Let's talk about this, man. The role of Gort was played by Locke Martin, the doorman from Grauman's Chinese Theater. Because he was extremely tall, that's the only reason.
Yeah. You know what the robot's original name was in the book?
Newt.
Newt.
Newt, yeah. That's who's terrified of a Newt?
Yeah.
So they needed someone tall in Hollywood. Go down to the Chinese Theater and grab one, I guess.
Apparently, makes sense. Apparently a very sickly man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they needed wires to pull him up the ramp. He was so sick he couldn't walk.
Wow.
Well, he was carrying that girl, too.
Yeah, they hooked him up to
carrying a dummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They had to actually cinch him up the ramp. But anyways, that's that.
Did you know?
Yeah. In a line from the film's Christian allegory, Klaatu adopts the name Carpenter when hiding out from the authorities. Robert Wise hadn't considered the Christian implications until it was pointed out to him several years later.
Yeah.
Okay. It's crazy.
As an homage to the film, George Lucas named three of the alien bounty hunters in Star Wars trilogy. Can you name them?
Klaatu, Barata, and Nictu.
Nicely done. And also, did you know that was also part of the Necronomicon in Evil Dead?
Oh, you're kidding me.
If you look in there, the words Klaatu, Barata, Nikto, that's so. Whatever. Yeah, don't say it. So anyways, that's inspired a couple of films, actually, to follow its suit. Did you know that the musical score by Bernard Herrmann was what inspired the great Danny Elfman to be a composer? You didn't know that. I can tell by looking in your face, Max, you didn't know that.
Nope. Makes sense now, thinking back. I mean, there's similarities in style.
Yeah, when you listen to Danny Elfman, even some of his newer stuff that's not meant to be in that vein, it still has a very 1950s something or other to it.
You know Danny Elfman when you hear it. I mean, it's like the minute Danny Elfman pops up, you know. Even in Oingo Boingo, it's like it's the same thing.
Yeah, which we actually used as a closing track on The Dead Man.
Yeah, so.
All right, so that's it, man. There's your Did You Know. By the way, we don't use thumbs up as we rate this film. We don't use thumbs up. We don't use thumbs. We don't use stars because it's stupid. We let the film tell us what it wants. And we're going to go over to the greatest producer. History of the Q Filmcast. What's the currency? What are we going to use to rate this film, Adam?
Robotic death laser. Wait.
That's called a fail.
That's exactly what we're doing. Robotic death laser weight. That's our currency.
Yes, it is. Robotic death laser weights. Right. That's it. It's all right. It's established. Weights. Robotic death laser fails. How's that?
Right. Epic fails.
Robotic death.
Robotic laser death rays.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I like mine. Robotic laser death rays.
Yes.
I thought about it too much.
That's it. So that's it. 1 through 10. And let's get into this. Okay. 1951, Day the Earth Stood Still. Adam, you cued it. So you know. Shoot it out the gate first, man. What do you got? What are you going to give this thing 1 to 10?
Zap us with it.
I'm going to 6.
Wow.
Okay. 6. Okay.
6, yeah. I have my reasons.
Okay.
We can't wait to hear those.
We will get to this. Let's go around the table, Max. That means you. You. 1 to 10 laser death rays.
Laser death weights? robot laser death rays, yeah. I'm giving it 9. Great movie. Great movie.
Okay.
Deserve it for its classic status.
Hoodie, follow that up. What you got? 1 to 10 laser death rays.
I thought I was going low with an 8, but...
But I blew you out of the water with my laser death rays.
I thought Adam was going to go with like a 9 or a 10, and I thought I was going to be the low guy with an 8, but...
Okay. So I guess still, 8.
That, obviously, it's laser death weight.
All right, Hoodie. Matthew St. Hoodie going 8 laser death weights. Savage, that brings it to you. What you have for the 1951 film, Day the Earth Stood Still?
They got a lot of stuff right with this film for 1951. Unfortunately, got a lot of it wrong. I got to go with a 5.
Okay. That rounds it out with me. Putting myself in 1951, I'm watching it in 1951. Yeah, I'm going to go 6. I'm going to go 6 laser death rays on the 1951 classic sci-fi. Day the Earth Stood Still. So, hey, by the way, you're like a – you know what you need? You need a blackboard and like algebra to tell me – these numbers, Max, what you got?
Nope, I just need science and numbers. 34.
34, okay. So
disappointing again. Just like Double Indemnity. You guys don't like old movies.
Typically, I don't, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. It's not that I don't respect them. I look at them like I'm watching something.
You should look at them as a movie.
Yeah, I just can't overlook certain things like, you know, miles per hour.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down, but it adds to the charm.
That's a throwback. All right, guys, so let's get into defend our conclusion. Let's ramble this one out. Mm-hmm. Got to talk about, and I want to hear Adam's, we're going to go right back where we started. Adam, that means you're the greatest producer. You say, hey, I got some things I want to talk about. I gave it a 6, and I'll tell you why. So there you go. Tell me why.
Really thought I was going to go higher, but one thing I watched on this one was the ending scene, and I don't want to talk about it until we get to it, but it was his ending speech that hit me, and I was like, what? I never caught it until this one point. So, but other than that, I love the beginning of it. Love the special effects. I thought it was a great looking movie, and Gort was awesome.
Gort set a precedence, yeah, no doubt.
Gort was awesome.
And he can melt plastic.
Well, this guy's heart is melted over here. And that's Max to the Max Gumbo Johnson. No more to the Max. Max Gumbo Johnson championing this film with a 9. And he's going to tell me why before the lasers shoot out of his eyes and kill me. What is it?
Let me tell you something about movies, especially science fiction movies this time. They were considered trash. They were considered B material. They were no good. Nobody took them seriously. Even Patricia Neal said, I can't believe I'm making this piece of garbage. It's going to be a piece of junk.
I read that.
B movie trash. She had trouble even saying her lines without laughing out loud.
Yeah, I read that.
Along comes a guy like Robert Wise. He's given a decent budget to make a decent movie, and he nails it. He makes a good, quote-unquote, B-movie. And it's been respected when it came out. It's been respected for years. It is a classic. It set a precedent in the genre that stands to this day, and besides a couple of little things that sort of got on my nerves with the movie, it still stands up. It still holds up and delivers a decent message, and it doesn't come across as corny or cheesy or B-movie-ish or any of that stuff. It's a quality, solid movie, whatever genre it's in. It's a good movie. And it was well done, well directed, well acted. Even the special effects at the time were pretty damn good.
Actually, they were real good.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's not much to disrespect about this movie. There's not a whole lot bad you can say about this movie. And that's it. I'm done.
I'm not going to part too many ways. I think mine comes down to just personal preference. So, yeah.
No, let me go. We'll hoodie.
Good idea. Yeah, good idea. Go. Savage shaking it up, man. You gave this a 5, low man down on the space stratosphere.
No, they did a lot of things right with this film, and Max is right in a lot of the ways. I was very surprised with how somber and straightforward this film was. It was there was none of that 50s schlock or overacting that you expect from these B-movie. You automatically go in with the day the Earth stood still, and from our generational standpoint, we look back on it, and we kind of have this knee-jerk reaction that all these films are going to be this overacted, schlocky kind of B movie quality stuff.
Right.
And so when it first came on, it was like I was incredibly surprised at how serious it was and how serious it took itself. I mean, they were really trying to make a really true film, not B film. I mean, they were really trying to make this film. The theremin kind of dates it a little bit at the credits, you know, but you know, you forgive that, you know, and you forgive certain generational styles of, you know, the dress and, you know, the minorities aren't really represented. You know, it's a different time. And and so you make allowances for those things.
Yeah, you have to make an agreement with the film. You shake hands with it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really impressed by the interaction with the entire world at the very beginning where the craft is tracked around the entire planet.
Yeah.
And you see that each country is tracking it. And it tries to give credence to each of these cultures as legitimate, and it's not just an American thing, you know. It does land in D.C., so it becomes an American thing.
It's an American movie.
Yeah, become relevant. No, it has to become relevant to the audience. Yeah.
No, and I get that. And there's some weird things that happen after landing. You know, it's like, I forgive the corny costumes. I forgive the corny robot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. Okay, it's the 50s. And they still maintain that serious attitude. They never make it jokey. There is never a point where they're like they're trying to get over on something. They're trying to present a straightforward narrative on apocalyptic it's like he's a harbinger of apocalypse if you don't change your ways. I mean, it's a classic story.
Right.
So I was really surprised by that. But then at the second half of the film, it kind of falls apart. I mean, the weight of it and then the technicality of it just falls apart on itself. And there's some really dumb things that happen, and it just took me completely out of it. It's just like, oh, come on, man. You're doing so good, and now it's so dumb.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. That's the path I sort of took as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had to go down. I mean, I was so excited, and I was it was so impressive, and then it just kind of fell apart.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. We had a segment we call Got to Talk About, so we'll let you cue something up there and get into a conversation about that. And we're over to Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality spacewear. Spacesuits tonight.
Spacesuits. For the most part, I agree with James a lot here. Except I guess I just took it different.
Yeah.
My sensibilities might be different.
You have American sensibilities, don't you?
As do you, sir. Right, but I like how poignant the movie was. You can say that this was, you know, religious. It was just preachy all over the place. The whole movie was just a long speech, and that didn't bother me. Go figure. Most of the time, I'd be like, if you even start preaching at me in a book, in a movie, I'm out. I'm hands down, I'm gone. This movie was completely preachy, and it was from the 50s, and I'm looking at it today going, wow, this stuff is still going on exactly how it was back then. Nothing's really changed.
Right.
Go figure.
That's cynical.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Propaganda, America, I mean, it was, tons of propaganda in this thing. The media was just awful. I'll get into that, I guess.
Yeah, well, then nothing has changed.
And then that's what I'm saying. Nothing really changed.
Well, let me just tell you what I thought about this, man. It's like, I don't really warm with – you say you hate old films. Well, look, it's nothing I gravitate to because I want some weight to my film. I either want there to be some heavy internal conflict. I either want there to be something very visceral for me to hold on to. I just don't get into these films, and I don't apologize for it. They're just from a different time. And, you know, the 50s in particular really bother me, to be quite honest, because you say, well, it's not a B-movie. It's a good B-movie. But everything from the 50s, you know, they make fun of Ed Wood. This isn't that far off from me. I mean, it's still look, there is some craftsmanship here. I did like a lot of, at the time, sitting there, it's 1951. I would have named my kid Gort, probably, like I say, okay? But, you know, the story to me, I've seen this done before where, all right, let's retell the story of Jesus. He dies, he comes from the dead. My God, they called him Mr. Carpenter. You look at a movie like, let's say, The Green Mile, which is another retelling of this, which was done in a completely refreshing way.
30 years later.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I didn't think this was a well-written film. I didn't think that the dialogue was good. It's just very 1950s-ish to me. It's like it's just a personal taste thing with me.
That's all it has to, I mean, that's all it can be.
So, you know, when I say six, it's not that I hated the film, but for me, I don't go much above that beyond this. I found myself just getting really bored with it. And to be honest, at the end of the thing, I'm like, well, that's it? That's the day the earth stood still? What is this? This is a very intelligent being, but he didn't know enough to not come up to someone with a gun right out of the you know? Right. I mean,
he's trusting.
There wasn't a gun.
There are just, this thing is, you know, I like the technical aspect because if you look at the ship at this time, that was a great effect for 51, and I felt that. I picked up on all the little nuances and all the little, freshly presented material here. It was really throughout the entire thing, but that's all it was. It's like looking at a relic to me. I didn't really grab any emotional content here. The guy's accent, too. Did you notice it went from English to New England to Chicago to a little bit of this? This thing is...
He's a space alien that studied different languages.
Yeah, okay, you can go there.
Chinese to Cantonese.
But this thing is literally so full of holes that even though I don't gravitate to these films, I thought this was really poorly written. Mm. And it's a cheap ripoff of a classic story. The reason I went up on the scale is really because of the technical merit at that time. But I didn't... At the end, I was just very, very underwhelmed. And it fell so flat. The more it went on, the flatter and flatter it got to me. So I don't have a whole lot of love for this film. I respect it. I respect it because you look at that and you go, okay, you look at Danny Elfman, you look at all the other robots in film. Yeah. They originated here. I like that part. I look at it with respect. I don't look at it with any pleasure.
Well, what about the message?
The message
that it was trying to, you know.
Okay, well, you know, the message also, that's wrong at the time. You know, don't fear the Russians. Because, and by the way, this is very much a Cold War film.
Every science fiction movie from the 50s and the 70s was a Cold War
film. Was really heavy into that, and I respect that for the time,
This was light compared to some of the other movies made during the time.
But, that's one of the things I liked about this film.
The message is, you know, it doesn't gravitate with me. I mean, it doesn't have a weight to it or anything like that.
Well, it was trying to tell us to stay away from nuclear weapons and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's something we haven't even tried to, even from back then.
Or should you? The last thing you want to do is stay away from nuclear weapons when everybody else is making them.
Everybody stay away.
I mean, I don't want to get into politics.
Matter of fact,
you can cut that out. The reason the Soviet Union went away was because you outbuilt them in the nukes. That's why you
The point of the movie was that's why he kept saying, I can't just tell him. I've got to tell everybody. Everybody has to listen to me.
Right.
That's why he wants the world leaders there.
And they were just so boneheaded. They was like, you know, that can't happen. He said, well, that's why you people are stupid. We can't deal with stupidity.
Way it was presented was, well, America, we're cool with getting everybody together. We're completely in. But all these other little countries, they all say no.
Well, they all said the same thing. They said, well, we can't do it if it's in Russia. And, well, we can't do it if it's in America. I mean, they did not make the Americans look that much more brilliant than anybody else.
I didn't pick up on a lot of the political thing being a big play here. It was just a message about an alien coming down and saying, hey, chill out.
That was a huge play. That was a huge part of it. I mean, I picked up on that.
Yeah. And the British Empire, which in the 51, Britain still was very much an empire.
He even called himself an empire in this
movie. Yeah, they owned much of India and Africa.
He said, all across the empire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm the guy on the radio. All across the empire today.
Right. Well, I mean, what did you think about the beginning? The opening first 15 minutes was, like you're saying, that you didn't really identify on a visceral level because you didn't really have that one person to identify with, I think. And this movie was really focused more so on the bigger picture, trying to, show the world and what would be actually affected. And they did that in the first 15 minutes with, like, the wires and everything. Yep. I thought that was fantastic. I loved it. Just because you don't see that anymore. You know, most of the time in a movie, you go straight to the guy, the protagonist, and you follow that guy and you get to know him. This one was, the world.
Yeah.
That's your main guy.
I'm with you. I mean, there is a lot to respect, and it did come in pretty hot. I mean, I like the way it opened up. It's like, okay, no fat on the bone, man. Let's get to the premise here.
Right. Yeah.
Aliens coming down. And I liked all the visuals that they played into it. I liked the way it presented the entire premise of the film. But once the characters started coming in, it just seemed like they were stock, man, just right off the shelf, right out of the studio. Everything was just so carbon cut out, copied over. And then once again, I didn't like the story. I didn't think the story was well written. I mean, the ending. Talk about a flat ending.
I like the ending. I liked it because it was flat.
Fine.
Don't you think they should have had more than two guards guarding this ship?
It completely fell apart. The second half of this film just fell apart.
I mean, like, ain't no thing. What are they going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do?
An eight-year-old,
50 of them out there?
An 8-year-old kid snuck into the perimeter. 50s. The perimeter!
No, he didn't. He snuck up to a tree where the people were more than free to walk around.
Hey, you know what we need to do?
He was just trying to hide.
And his mom also left him with a complete and total stranger.
Yeah, How long is that?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. There are all these little things that aren't me or aren't the time I'm living in. So I'm like, oh, that must have been how it was in the 50s.
You know what? You're funny.
Kids could sneak up to nuclear sites and
hang out. That's one of the problems I had with the movie. Was the mother.
I just
constantly going out and doing things with this jerkwad of a guy she was with.
Jerkwad. They didn't say that.
But she would just leave him with a complete stranger. Oh, here she's always gone with this guy.
Well, it did show you the time stamp on this thing, because out of all the stuff that looked old, that's what stood out to me. You don't leave your kid alone with a strange man.
No, I was like, what?
But all that's fun, too. I like looking at this thing through a time capsule. You know, we should stop right here. Let's stop right here and listen to a piece of The Day the Earth Stood Still. All right? And listen to a little bit of Gort. Maybe a little bit of Klaatu. We don't
listen
know.
Listen to Gort?
Gort?
Yeah. Anyways.
He was a big talker.
He was. No, yeah, we can't listen to Gort. Don't know what I was talking about there, but here's a piece from 1951's The Day the Earth Stood Still.
I bet that iron guy's strong. I bet he can knock down a whole building.
I shouldn't be at all surprised.
I'd like to get inside that ship, see how it works. What do you think makes it go?
Well, a highly developed form of atomic power, I should imagine.
I thought that was only for bombs.
No. No, it's for lots of other things, too.
You think it can go faster than the F-86?
Yes, I should think so.
About 1,000 miles an hour?
Maybe 4,000 miles an hour. And outside the Earth's atmosphere, a good deal faster.
Well, how could they make a landing?
Well, there are several ways to reduce landing speed. You see, the basic problem is to overcome the inertia and...
Keep going, mister. He was falling for it.
Okay, there you go. There's a piece from the 1951 classic sci-fi film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. And we're going to go back to Max, the Max Johnson.
Why?
Max Gumbo Johnson. My apologies. We're going to talk about what you got to talk about, Max. Bring something up. Let's bounce it around. What do you want to talk about when it comes to this film?
Well, I got to talk about this film?
What you got to talk about, Max?
Same thing I said earlier. And you can even count this back to recent times. Sci-fi and horror as well have just gotten such a bad rap in the past few years. They've just become disrespected genres. They've had a glut of bad horror and science fiction.
They don't do themselves any services most of the
time. Well, hold on. That's my point. Back in the 50s, when all these terrible, cheesy B-movies were coming out, science fiction was relegated to B-movie status. They were B-movies. Nothing rose above a B-movie, basically until this came along. I mean, there were some other ones, but they came along later in the 50s, The War of the Worlds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, as far as I can, I'm no expert on this or anything, but a lot of these, they were focused on the Cold War. Every science fiction you saw was based on, the Cold War
thing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They try to make parallels between
energy.
Same thing, yeah.
Well, Cold War.
Yeah, Cold War. But they tried to make the analogy and the parallel between what the country was facing. That fear as opposed to otherworldly fears.
Yeah, and this movie was no different. It just did it better than others. And it also did it in a respectable manner. It was a good movie. And that was so rare back then that it stood out so much from everything else around it. You have to respect the movie for that. And, y'all can say, well, you know, this took me out of the movie, or this took me out of the movie, and it's been done before. Well, at the time, it hadn't been done before.
No, I understand the benchmark of it, Max.
Yeah, well, you've got to respect it on that principle alone. That's like saying, well, I didn't like Citizen Kane because I've seen it all done before. Well,
no, it's not the
up
same
until
thing
then,
at all.
None of that stuff had been done.
I have to judge it on my experience with the film, though. I can't just say it's a benchmark film, so it's a 10. I can't just do that.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm giving it a 9 based on the fact that it was a well-told story. It was very somber. It was not. Didn't go for these flashes and explosions
and all this other stuff.
I mean, it was pretty down-to-earth and, you know, as realistic as you can make a movie like this. It was fairly realistic. There were a couple of things that I was like, okay, did they really have to do that?
Like
that
what?
Was when Klaatu told her, said, oh, look, you know, hurry, get the message to Gort. And you think, okay, she's got her act together. She seems like a pretty strong-willed woman. She's going to go do what she needs to do. And she goes out there and she starts tripping over the chairs and she just collapses by the tin roof.
Yeah,
and
I
goes,
saw that
ah!
as well.
And like, okay, that, yeah. that what was that for?
Well, right. Because he was an alien space shooting.
But then she immediately
watched kill two guys.
But then she immediately
that might have an influence
scream,
on it.
She immediately after that scream gives the code
gives
words
him the message
in the most sedate, easy yeah. tone ever.
She and was that, in shock.
Well, but you can say that.
All women from the 1950s fainted, by the way.
She never fainted, but I'll give her that. But yeah, that sort of thing. I was like, okay, that little trope right there. That's like, okay, you really did not need that. That could have. She could have just walked up, you know, a little bit, have a little
strong
will
to it. They're going for drama.
And say, you know, say the words and boom, that was. They didn't need that little part right there.
If they had done that, you would have been complaining that there was no drama in that scene.
No, I wouldn't have. I'd have thought that would have worked better.
No, they were just trying to push some drama.
I'll defend the movie. I can't say a whole lot bad about it. There were a couple of things, like the little screaming part, and then the whole, I'll watch Bobby or whatever.
Right. Well, some of that's generational and awful.
I actually really like that. I was like, wow, that's really nice.
You want to be him. You're an old man you didn't know could watch
If I had kids, I'd like to see a stranger walking down the street and be like, hey there, can you watch my kid for half an hour?
Well, gee, I don't know, mister. Can I trust you? Is that a laser in your pocket? I'm sorry.
And I didn't like that. And the other thing that I didn't like, but I see the point of it in the movie was Tom, her boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just an off the rack character,
too.
Well,
had to
gee,
build
Bubba,
him up.
I don't know.
You had to have a villain that was human that you could identify with, and he was the guy. He was.
I guess he was kind of the villain in a way.
Yes.
Pretty mild. He just wanted the
well, you're talking
notoriety,
about it,
the fame.
The exposure.
He said, you're going to be marrying a famous man. He's like, I'm not marrying anybody. You take that, punk.
Well, suppose I made this call and I became famous. See? What would you think of that, dear? You know, see, the movie's filled with that, by the way.
Right, which is great. Which I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed
golly
that.
Misters.
I enjoyed all that stuff.
Adam, give me a golly mister. Give me
I
a
just
golly.
Did.
One more time.
Golly mister.
Now tell me what you thought. Now give me something you got to talk about, Adam.
Yeah, I
want to
know what brought you from a 9 to a 6.
Yeah, you queued this up. You queued this up. You went high and ended low. So what was it?
That's a drop.
Okay, the biggest thing was the speech at the end. You know, he's telling everyone, you know, this is how you should live and everything. But it comes out that they have enslaved themselves to these robots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if we...
Why would you do that? To yourself, make a community, and you enslave yourself to these robots that at any given point, they can just fry you.
It's Terminator.
And be gone.
That's what Terminator
There's
is.
There's no point to that. Why would you enslave yourselves to these giant robots?
But they won't just fry you.
He gave a speech about that somewhere, didn't he? About why?
At the very end.
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to do that to your race?
So it's a logic problem for you.
It is.
Well, he acknowledged it's not a perfect system, but it works.
But it works. Right.
Oh, I live in threat and fear for the rest of my life.
No, so do we. That's what the media was
doing. What's the difference? Is.
No,
they
that was
built war machines to kill themselves.
So do we.
I do not watch these films to get a logical interpretation of anything. I watch them as a relic. I watch them to have a good time. And actually, the things you say you liked about the film, kind of go back, kind of put yourself in a different time. That's what attracts me here. I don't look for any logic in this film.
Right,
it's
right.
Very bare bones as far as that goes.
Why not?
Well, I mean, the logic, first off, you traveled 5 months to get there, 250 million miles.
Right.
How far is Jupiter?
Yeah,
we did this on another show. 350 million.
Look at this big brain on
man. You know, no, it 250 miles puts us out to like Uranus is where they drew this script from. All right. And it's
we are really, so
it's
immature.
James, let me tell you something. It's a lot closer than that.
And it's pronounced Uranus.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Another another sensibility from another time. Yeah.
Right.
But go ahead, Matt.
James talking.
No, it's in the again, this film does a lot of things right. And there is there's a straightforward, a very realistic tone that I was completely surprised and refreshed by. This wasn't made to be a B movie. This was made to be an A movie.
Yeah.
It was just the subject matter. My problem is the second half of the film, you know, and there's a cardinal rule. You don't really look too hard at the science in science fiction.
Right.
Because it is the fiction of science.
It's not a manual. It's a movie.
You know, I give up the 250 million miles, even though clearly that's in our own solar system. And it's, you know, it's, we know better than
it's
that.
It's obviously an invisible planet.
So you forgive that, you know, because there was a time where the Martian thing, the Venusian thing, that was the standard of these sci-fi 50s things, you know, the man from Mars and, you know, Mars wants women, whatever. I had a more practical problem with it toward the end, you know. It's like, okay, you can't get their leaders, which I really like the political aspect. It's like, man, you really don't understand the nuance of our culture.
Yeah.
Which he should have, because if he's been studying the people well enough to know English, he should know the political aspect of the, you know, geopolitical
thing. Right,
things.
I'm with you. Yeah.
But when he gets caught the second time and shot and he's in jail, and then she frees Gort, and then Gort sneaks up to the jail.
Yeah.
And melts the wall.
Like I'm saying, there's no logical train. No, but
he comes from an invisible planet. No, it's so crazy to think that he can turn invisible.
Okay. No, I mean, I was done. At that point, it was like, oh man, it's almost like they gave up at the second half of this film. It's like they gave up because they wanted to get the message. It's like, it's like, okay, be better to each other.
Yes. And that's the problem I have with this film is the message is so hammered that after a while it's like, okay, you don't need the story anymore. Hammer the message. Get the message. The story.
You know, they were off the rack. The Einsteinian, you know, the super genius. And we've seen those things. And these are what I call archetypes.
But Max makes a good point. He says this is the first time, though, so you have to forgive it on that.
I don't know. I mean, Max obviously is more of a connoisseur of these films than I am, but I don't know if that's true. I mean, because these are archetypes. These are the savior figure, the prophet figure.
Yeah.
This is not something unique to 1951. No. It's not something original to 1951.
I never said it was. I said in the sci-fi genre. And as far as going to the sci-fi, you say, oh, you don't look for logic in a lot of sci-fi. Well, there's two kinds of sci-fi. There's soft sci-fi and there's hard science fiction. There's a big difference between this and hard science fiction. Hard science fiction is your stuff like 2001 and that stuff where you say, okay, this is logically –
could happen.
This could happen. This could happen. And there's nothing in this movie that couldn't happen, but you don't look for it to go like, oh yeah, that's accurate. You know, the plastic would hold Gort. Well, they don't know. Gort could probably blow the whole planet off.
Hold on a second. Hey, you know what I want to bring up though? You keep talking about up until then they were all B movies that were bad. This one tried to separate itself from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That gap is not very wide for me on this, okay? It's not like this is completely different than a bad B movie. There's so much still here that ties it back to just being a bad B movie, and a lot of it is the character. And I think the story here is just kind of just a basic retelling of the story of Jesus, which is very common in a lot of movies.
Yeah, the prophet,
there's
the savior.
Wrong with that.
And there's nothing wrong with
the
that.
The apocryphal messenger.
So really, is there a lot of clever writing here? No, there's none.
Yeah, well, the whole thing to me revolves around fear. So you have the media really, and that's one of the things that I said doesn't change. So you had the media even back then being like, oh, this, you know, monster. They kept calling him a monster. Is roaming around free. Everybody stay at home. We have this monster roaming around. Everybody's scared to death. They don't know what's happening, and they don't know anything. The media just keeps feeding into it.
Even to the newsboys, like, extra, extra, here, and, get the thing.
Well, I mean, what really put that home is when they actually had the news reporter going down the line. He goes to interview the actual alien, and he's like, oh, I think this guy's here, you know, whatever positive thing he had to say. And the guy pulls the microphone and walks off to find somebody else who's afraid.
Right.
So that's one of the things that kind of pulled me into this. And that's one of the things that I say hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
And, on the other side of that, you had the savior come down, the actual alien, and he, you know, tried to scare the crap out of us into doing what he wanted. So we're ruled by fear again. And that's
nice point, man.
So that's one of the things I had to talk about.
Oh, you
and
gotta
as far as the living by fear or ruled by fear. I mean, he actually said that in the movie. He said, well, look, you know, can y'all just listen to me or do I have to resort to something catastrophic like leveling New York? You know, that's the only thing y'all get, apparently.
Yeah. Right. And we're talking about the 1951 film, The Day the Earth Stood Still, by the way. And
it should have been called the 30 minutes the Earth Stood Still.
That's right. That wasn't a full day. but listen, let's take a quick break here. Listen to a piece from The Day the Earth Stood Still. And we'll come back, we'll wrap this thing up, then we'll get into our top threes.
The universe grows smaller every day, and the threat of aggression by any group, anywhere, can no longer be tolerated. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. For our policemen, we created a race of robots. In matters of aggression, We have given them absolute power over us. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is, we live in peace, without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises. We do not pretend to have achieved perfection, but we do have a system. It is no concern of ours how you run your own planet. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
All right, there you go once again. There's a piece from 1951, the film we are talking about, The Day the Earth Stood Still. I want to do a little bit of gotta talk about. I want to talk about the acting. I don't know. You know, in the end, I was hoping for a little bit more gravity, no pun intended, a little bit less off the rack. I mean, did you guys find the performances here to be really captivating in any way at all? I mean,
I find them to be refreshingly serious.
I did kind of like that aspect of it, too. It didn't go for a lot of puns and things
no,
like that.
No, and yeah. Then there was, I didn't find it to be overacted or hammy, which I completely expected.
And I liked her in it too, the female lead. I thought she was actually pretty good.
That was Patricia Neal.
Patricia Neal,
by the way. Yeah.
Other
she's,
than that.
She's a somewhat famous actress.
Yeah, okay. Well, other it didn't than come to me right away, Max. My apologies.
Her faint and the thing that was brought up earlier by Max is
that.
Like that whole, it seemed really affected, but just that, that was the only really overacting that I picked up in the entire thing.
And I kind of want a little bit overacting in these films.
I'll say something about the acting.
Say something, Gumbo.
They had good actors in this movie. They really were.
They
were.
I had no problem with the acting at all.
Patricia Neal's a good actress.
Yeah, she's
Sam Jaffe's a good actor.
Okay.
The guy that played Klaatu, I don't know
Michael
his name.
Rene.
Yeah, Michael Rene. He was an unknown
actor.
He was a famous
actor
in Britain. He was a stage actor.
He sure couldn't keep his accent straight.
Yeah, he did fine with his accent. I thought the acting in this was fine. I don't see why, you know, and you said you expect a little bit of overacting. That's what people were attuned to expect in that time when they saw a science fiction movie, B-roll science fiction movie, and this one did not give that. So you're sitting there saying, well, I expected overacting, and I didn't get it. I kind of wanted it to be hammy.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't get it. I said I expected it got a little
no,
bit
No, I meant you didn't get it. You didn't get the hammy acting that you wanted.
To me, it's the writing. It's a poorly written movie.
Well, but then you're complaining that the acting was bad.
Damn. Well, you brought up the conversation of the acting. You wanted to talk about the acting.
Yeah, I said it was all fair and well. I really liked her. That's what I said.
Mm. Oh, but I thought she was good.
I thought
like him.
I liked him. I found him to be a little bit annoying at the end.
I liked everybody, and I liked the preachiness of him. Maybe because I was like sitting on the couch being like, yeah.
There you
that's
go.
How
yeah.
it should be. He's right.
Yeah.
All hail Klaatu.
Hey, let's talk about Gort, because the one thing I do like about this film is when you close your eyes, Gort. There are some great stills in this movie. I like the idea that this is kind of the godfather of certain things. First thing is, I don't think we'd seen a robot like this up to that time. I completely appreciate it. Gort, I mean, I can imagine sitting there as a kid and the face mask rolls up and that laser shoots out. I would have jumped out of my chair. I mean, and even now, that holds up.
It was great. It looked great.
I thought the effects were fantastic in this film, and that really is the backbone of this. It's certainly not the writing, but it's the effects.
It seemed a little slow. I mean, the shot is like one weapon. You know,
what are they going to do?
Shoot really quick?
Well, it's still
again. He was going for the drama. That was dramatic.
No, and I get that. But did anybody notice that how nervous the military was, and how cool all the civilians were.
I want to know why
around the perimeter, they're like, "Hey, what's going on here?"
Especially when they ran off in fear.
Well,
they were so cool.
Oh, and how come nobody was?
That was horrible when they did the little running off. I mean, it looked like straight out of
the
Three Stooges.
Yeah.
That's just because they sped it up.
And how come nobody was?
Why would they do that?
They had to speed it up because the director was upset that the people weren't running away fast enough to get the dramatic effect he wanted, and he hated having to do that. But he admitted, he said, to get the effect we need of them running away, we've got to speed the film up a little bit.
All right, final words, man. Let's get around to this thing here. Adam, what do you want to end up with? Talk to me a little bit about this film. By the way, 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Wrap it up, man. What do you got?
Great movie. I still appreciate it. I just didn't like the last ending speech.
I think a lot of people are going to feel that way. You kind of fell apart. That's just my opinion. Max, go.
I'm sticking with a 9. Great movie. Deserves all the praise it's got.
Oh, in that case, I'm going up to a 7, by the way.
He's going up to a 7.
All right.
9.
Okay.
Yeah.
35.
Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear, is going to round it out with his, not going to round it out, but he's going to step in and tell us what.
I'm going to stay where I am.
Which
I
was
really
a
enjoyed,
8.
An 8. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I don't know.
Benchmark film deserves its creed.
It was great.
Okay.
And I agree with the space aliens. Now, everybody everywhere should throw away our guns.
Yeah. It better be a two-way street, buddy.
That's
yeah,
right. What I said. Everyone everywhere.
Yeah, they got to throw away theirs, too.
Yeah, maybe it was a ploy for them to take over Earth.
Yeah. That's always what it was.
It was the Nazis from space.
Nazi.
They're like, throw away your arms.
I saw that. It's called Iron Sky.
Hey, suppose I'd go over to James Hartsub Savage, and he was going to tell me his final synopsis. What would it be?
It is a classic film, and it, you should watch it. And I'll go to a 6 just because it should be above average.
I'm going to go with 6. I think the big, broad strokes are good. The overall premise is good. The delivery and the setup is good. But the fine print is just nothing really a whole lot there to grab onto for me. It's a classic film, though. I'll give it its stills. The still shots work.
No. Puts us to 36.
So that's it, man. That is the 1951 film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. But the top three is brought to you by Audible.com. You know, that is our sponsor, Audible.com. And for you, the listeners of the Q Filmcast, check this out. You ready for this? This offer is out of this world.
Oh. You're so clever.
I'm going to do that. Every show is going to be like that. Okay. If it was the American, I'd say, not just for Americans.
Right.
No, this offers out of this world. And Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. We're talking about like The Hobbit. Go, you know, big classic fantasy.
Out of this world.
That's right. Divergent. Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. I do want to see The Book Thief. And it's funny because you're kind of stealing a book.
Right. Yeah.
It's The Book Thief.
How ironic.
Crush It. Why now is the time to cash in on your passion? So you got all kinds of stuff like self-help stuff. Yeah. Doesn't matter. You want a free audiobook download. You're in your car. You listen to it. You're at work. Boss isn't watching. You listen to it. Go to theqfilmcast.net for your free audiobook. Free. Anything wrong with free?
No. Nothing wrong with
free. Who doesn't want free?
But you got to go to our site and click that
banner. That's right. Qfilmcast.net. Get your free audiobook download from audible.com. That is our sponsor. All right, guys. Top three. Top three robots in film. And look at this guy, Adam.
He's
the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast.
I like robots.
He's got his head on a tilt. Go.
God, when he tilts that head, too, he looks so serious and suave. Give me your number three. Top film, top robots in film, number three, inspired by the 1951 film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. What is it?
I got to go iconic Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet.
But he also evolved into another show.
Lost in Space. Yeah, he ended up being on Lost in Space as well.
Yeah.
It's the arms. Isn't it? It's those.
It's iconic, yeah.
It's those googly arms.
Yeah. Googly arms.
Bubble arms.
They were bubble arms.
That's a good choice. That is an iconic robot. Yeah, I mean, you look at it, that's a robot. It looks like a trash compactor. Speaking of googly arms.
No, he doesn't.
Googly Gumbo Johnson. Max Googly Gumbo. What's your number three, man?
I just went with the first robots I thought of. I didn't necessarily go with iconic because I knew, like, okay, everybody's going to say Robbie. Doesn't need to be said.
Right.
Doesn't need to be said. 80s robot in The Muppets. I love that robot because he had a 9600 Baud and he drove a Rolls Royce across the ocean. He was awesome.
Who was it?
And he brought him a Diet Coke.
Adam's passing you clues.
80s robot's on my list. I love 80s robot.
Oh, okay.
80s robot from The Muppets was the best.
Oh, that's right. He was just called 80s robot.
That was his name. Oh, 80s robot.
And he plays awesome music.
Matt St. Hoodie, number three top film robot for you. What is it?
Just thought of it. I haven't seen this movie in forever. Sleeper.
Oh, fantastic. Man.
Which robots, though?
How about the dog robot in it?
Yeah, all right. Okay.
How about the Jewish tailor robot?
Yeah. Sleeper.
You just go to Sleeper, man. Matt says you'll find a robot. Good job, man.
They have some good robots in Sleeper.
I'm going to have to change my list a little bit now, but we'll go over to James Hartsub Savage. Give me a robot.
From AI, I'm going with Teddy.
Fantastic.
The teddy bear.
And he's like the original Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah. Teddy Ruxpin. Scared the heck out of me as a kid, by the way. My number three, you're going to like this one. You know what it is? Check this out. Elizabeth Hurley as a fembot in Austin Powers.
Ah, ooh, nice.
You like that?
Or did all the fembots in there?
Yeah, but I wanted to pick out one. You remember? Yeah.
No,
she was not not a fembot in the first one. Am I correct? And then the second one, we find out she is a fembot.
I don't know.
That's a twist.
Yeah, a twist.
Didn't see that coming.
And it has the word bot in it, so you can't argue with me.
And fem. And they have guns in their boobs.
Max, if you take the word feminine and robot, you get a fembot.
That's right.
And if you take a feminine and a producer, you get a femducer. And that's our producer.
Femducer.
I don't know. Adam, greatest producer, man. What's your number two robot?
The gunslinger from Westworld.
What's he talking about, Max?
Yul Brynner. He's
talking about Yul Brynner in Westworld.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
It's one of the best movies ever made.
You've never seen Westworld?
No.
I wouldn't say it's one of the best movies ever made.
It's one of my favorites.
Okay,
watch it again. You'll give it a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I give it a 5.
Hoodie, did you see this film?
No, I didn't.
No, yeah. Of course we saw it.
All right. Whatever comes up, I am picking it.
We've kind of gotten to the point where we have to have a synopsis. We have to have a coming together on Adam's picks just to make sure they're legitimate. Are you sure?
No, they're legitimate.
Do we agree? Okay.
Westworld was like a Jurassic Park for your fantasies where you could live out your life as a gunslinger.
Directed by Michael Crichton, too.
Was it really? To do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What year was this?
That must make it good.
73, yeah. 74.
Okay, older film. Like that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Max Gumbo, Googly Eyes, Johnson. What's your number two?
It's a hard one.
He's pondering.
I am.
He's looking
so
into
many.
The abyss. He doesn't know what to
this
do.
This is one of the other first ones I thought of. I love those spider robots in Runaway.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
that was
so
good.
With Tom Selleck.
God, Runaway was a good movie, wasn't
that's
it?
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I love those little robots.
That blew my mind.
What did they call them? I forgot about
they
that.
They didn't
though.
Have, they just were the spider
evil.
Robots.
Pure evil.
Pure evil. Yeah. And Gene Simmons directed them.
Wow. That's right.
That's the best thing he's ever done.
I forgot all about that film. You know what? It also reminded me of the spider robot thingies from Minority Report. Remember those?
They were just a lame copycat of the original Spider-Man.
I'm going to give you
Tom
that.
Selleck with his great mustache.
They were more dynamic. It might have been Selleck's mustache that did it, but those were actually more
scary. Did you say Gene Simmons directed it?
Directed the robots.
No,
he was in it.
He directed the robots.
Oh.
To kill Tom Selleck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Guess who directed that?
Tom Selleck.
Michael Crichton.
Ah, there you go.
Another time. Can we all agree that Tom Selleck's mustache is out of this world?
It's amazing.
It's mechanical.
Yeah. It's a machine.
And so are you. So what's your number two?
I really want to go with Max's.
He's going to piggyback.
For the rest of mine, just go Runaway. But I'll say Wall-E for whatever.
No!
Wall-E's a great robot.
Yeah, he's one of the best robots.
Even though it's expected and it's going
to
be called out.
You have to.
It's Wall-E, man. We'll talk about that more in a second.
You can piggyback.
Savage, pick it up, man. What you laying down?
He's taking Wall-E. I'm taking Johnny number five.
Johnny number disassemble Johnny.
No disassemble Johnny number. He's a true robot, true acting
one
robot.
One of the best insults in history. Your mother was a snowblower.
Your mother was a snowblower.
He knew it.
Such
I
a juvenile,
hated that robot.
Stupid movie.
That was a stupid.
But he was
movie.
A great robot.
But you got to admit, though, that was
no Wall-E.
They rode that robot. They rode that robot. They looked alike, though. They might have been related.
They did look alike, yeah.
Something's up there, man. But that was a good robot, mm-hmm. Johnny, number five. You know what my number two is? Tell me if you remember this film. And if you remember the robot, Vincent from the Black Hole.
Vincent Black Hole. And Bob. His brother.
I guess you do remember it.
That and the big robot, Maximilian.
Maximilian.
Yeah. Maximilian. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Scariest robot ever.
He was the scariest robot
him
ever.
As a kid.
Oh, so did I.
So did I. God, I wish I still had it.
Do you still have your robot?
No.
I had a Bob and a Maximilian.
Adam, the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. I want you to lay down and I'll pick it up. What you give me as your number one?
Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Marvin
the Hitchhiker Guide to the Galaxy.
Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay. He's your plastic pal that's fun to be with.
That was an honorable mention for me.
He was great.
He was great.
That's your number one.
That's his number one.
He's talked about this film a bunch. Is that one of your all-time favorite films?
I love that story.
Well, I give it a four. I love that movie.
My favorite movie of all time.
He's a depressed robot. It's awesome.
Yeah. And we are talking about our top three film robots inspired by the film that we talked about.
He's voiced by Alan Rickman, too.
Excellent. The
and
Day the Earth Stood
so
Still.
Depressed.
Yeah. Alan Rickman. Gotta love Alan Rickman.
Life. Don't tell me about
Max,
life.
I want you to blow my mind.
Blow it.
Right out into outer space with your top robot. What is it? What you got?
I'm not going to blow your mind. Anybody knows me knows it's going to be obvious. Tom Servo and Crow T Robot, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Is that
choice.
A movie?
Jeez. That's a good choice.
Yep, they made it. It was called Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Movie. You could go to the theater and see it. It was good. Actually, I laughed during that film.
All right.
And they're the funniest robots ever.
Okay.
I will accept this, sir. I will accept this choice. It's a quality choice.
Well, I will accept it.
You have no other choice but to accept that choice.
I mean, they're puppets, but fine.
Hoodie,
they're still robots.
Like... Oh. Matthew St.
Terminator.
He's straight up Terminator.
Terminator.
He's all robot. I don't
Which
care about
T-800.
The T-3 one with the wide jawbone that was scary.
The wide jawbone.
Yeah. The one with the wide jawbone that doesn't, you can't even make a face out of it because it's just all wrong.
Why didn't they
really
just
scary.
Call him jawbone? That would have been better.
Yeah, or teeth.
was that in Salvation? Which one was that in?
Yeah, he was in Salvation. And T3, wasn't he? No, he was in. It had to be Salvation then.
Yeah, the T3 were the old ones. Yeah, Salvation.
It could have been a flashback in something. I don't know.
you talk about classic films.
I'm going to go with Salvation though.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good choice. And you talk about classic films, with staying power. I think all those Terminator films are going to be like that.
No, I think two of them are.
No, I think they're all pretty good.
No.
Okay, two. Never mind.
I didn't like the third one.
I didn't care for the third one.
I liked it, man.
I didn't like the third one.
Nah,
whatever. Like, I think deep down you are a cyborg. Well, savage, by the way.
Yeah.
No one is this smart. No one is this intelligent.
Well.
And give me a very smart number one. What is it?
Well, if you need the optimal robot or the prime robot, let's go with Optimus Prime.
That's one hell of a robot.
Good job.
My number one, there's so many different ways I could go. You know I'm going to go with, though? I'm just going to say it. The Sentinels from The Matrix.
Those were good.
Yeah.
You know why? They didn't look like humanoid. They weren't human form robots.
No,
man, these were
squid
some,
robots. Yeah.
We're talking intergalactic, tear your ship apart robots looking like squids.
No, they weren't intergalactic. Easy killer. I mean, they were planetary. Were they not?
Whatever. They scared the heck out of them even as an adult.
You don't know. They weren't.
And there was a whole fleet of them.
There were tons of them.
I'm actually shocked.
One for every man, woman, and child in Zion.
I don't know.
It's exactly like a machine.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am really shocked that none of y'all said Ash or Bishop from Aliens.
Hey, that we just rounded out.
No.
That's because they're cyborgs.
We ruled out cyborgs.
They're robots.
No.
Those guys.
They're cyborgs.
You want to know?
Milk and stuff.
I can't believe nobody said, like, R2-D2.
I didn't want to go with those. I was like, I can't.
You know what? There's a few. It's almost like it's
pointless to say it.
It's sacred ground because to me, it's always going to be R2-D2 as the number one robot.
You just had to make that known. That's all I'm saying.
I know. You had to. Gotcha. Well, listen, let's get into a little bit of shout outs here from Twitter. You know, as always, we put this thing out on Twitter.
Right.
You want to know what came back? You want to hear what came back, Max?
At Max Johnson says C3PO and R2-D2.
There you go.
Adam, you ready to hear what Twitter had to say?
I am ready.
I floated this one out into the abyss. Listen what came back. Here's what at Rob X is a beast. All right, Rob, here's what you say. At Rob X is a beast said, Pris? What's he talking about?
Blade Runner.
I'm just messing
with
you.
She wasn't a robot, though.
Yeah, we made part ways with you.
They were more human than human.
They were robots.
He said C-3PO, T-1000, R2-D2, of course. Justin G at the Naked Nerd, God, I hope I never see that, said, gonna get crap for this, but Gigolo Joe. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, well,
he's crap for
that. Great.
I don't know. Maybe he's an actual gigolo. Maybe he's like part of a gigolo underground. He can't talk about Gigolo Joe.
Pimping ain't easy for a robot.
At Adam Frazier said R2-D2, C-3PO, Ash, Bishop, Hal, RoboCop, the Terminator, Robbie the Robot, Wally, Gunslinger, Gort, and Mechagodzilla. Why didn't you say that? I was expecting
Mechagodzilla was controlled by people in the
Robert
Zilla robot.
It was Robert. Like a giant tank is all it was. It's not a robot.
I think he has a
people
point.
People never control robots.
This
was
a
believe
vehicle.
It or not, Mechagodzilla was on my list, and I thought about it, and I said,
I'm
going to
throw out HAL 9000. HAL 9000.
He was a computer program.
Yeah, he's a computer.
He run that whole shit.
He was a program.
He makes a point, though. He couldn't work on his own. He was a machine. He wasn't a robot, a machine.
It's like Pacific Rim. They HAL were controlled
work
by
on
humans.
Room.
Those are some big... Cool Every robots, day. Man. HOM Podcast, at HOM Podcast, says R2-D2, Johnny 5, Robot and Frank?
Robot from Robot and Frank with Frank Langella.
Nicely done, sir. I tested you. You passed. I had no idea what that was.
No idea.
Bishop
the band.
From Aliens. Roy Batty, of course. T-8000. How about Maria from Metropolis?
Yeah. Yep. Got to go with Maria. Yeah.
I thought about that, too.
Yeah. She's got to be on the list.
How about Ed Matthew Jones 56? You know who he is? He's our
movie. JT.
JT Movie Podcast. Yeah. At JT Movie Podcast, our sister station. Good show.
Yeah.
He's saying Huey, Dewey, or Louie?
Yep. Silent Running.
That's a quality choice, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, so there you go. Top three movie robots, guys. Any honorable mentions, Max? What did we forget?
I got one.
What?
Real quick. BB from Deadly Friend.
Don't know what that is.
Terrible movie.
It's still.
Terrible movie. My favorite movie of all time. I give it a one. Gertie from Moon, Ed 209 from RoboCop, the Iron Giant, Maria, Max Payne, we already talked about that. That's it.
That is our top three movie robots based on the film we reviewed, which was The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951. Classic film. Now this is where we get into big reveal. We're going to go over to James Hardsub Savage. Lay it on me, man. What you going to queue up for us next week, James?
Oh, well, it had to happen. It's a rom-com, boys. We're going Hit and Run.
Hit and Run. Okay, I'm down with that. I'll watch that.
I have not seen Hit and Run. No
Dax Shepard, Christian Bale,
Tom Arnold,
Bradley Cooper, Hit and Run, rom-com.
And that's it, man. So, as always, thank you for tuning into The Queue. If you want to give us your thoughts on the film we just discussed, go to thequeuefilmcast.net. You can leave a comment, tell us your review, what you thought, or just give us some feedback on which of us you agree or disagree with. Always happy to hear from you. We love listener feedback.
That's the first time in a while you did the viewer.
That used to be a regular thing. You know what? Maybe it is viewer feedback because they're all closing their eyes just wondering what Savage looks like.
You've got the YouTube channel now.
They can see our logo, Savage.
Right. Well, I mean,
How about you can view the logo? Yeah, so until then, stay safe, and we'll see you next week when we queue up the film Hit and Run. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, because he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me, let the children. Let all the children do get.
Klaatu, Murata, Nelson.